ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, and welcome once again to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. Today is the 4th of March 2021, and in just a week from today, we are going to celebrate, we are going to suffuse ourselves in the Nama Sankirtana of Shivanama. We are going to fast our senses of everything else of this world and suffuse them, fill them, overwhelm them with our love for Lord Shiva, our love for the divine. We are going to contemplate on Shivoham. We are going to spend the whole night contemplating on the beautiful elevating form of Lord Shiva. We are going to spend 12 non-stop hours in ceaseless chanting and submerging ourselves in that feeling of Shiva Nama Sankirtana. And every year Shivaratri reminds you of that blissful morning when, as the chants are going on, Bhagwan is sitting there and Bhagwan would become still. Bhagwan would become as still as the Manasarovar Lake. And you would almost feel like you're transported to Kailasha. ఏకబిల్వం శివార్పణం, ఏకబిల్వం శివార్పణం, త్రిదళం త్రిగుణాకారం, త్రినేత్రం చతుర్యాయుధం, ఏకబిల్వం శివార్పణం. యాజ్ దిస్ చాన్స్ గో ఆన్ అండ్ యాజ్ యూ లుక్ అట్ దట్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ స్టిల్నెస్, ద హోల్ హాల్ is completely in a different plane. Shivaratri brings you those memories. Shivaratri brings you those memories of Bhagwan coming to listen to the bhajans in the middle of the night. It reminds you of the beautiful discourse that Bhagwan would give before the bhajans commence, and the discourse he would give after the bhajans conclude. And of course, those spectacular evenings when the lingam would emerge from his divine being. Shivaratri is that festival where you are so filled with sanctity, auspiciousness, purity. As Bhagwan says, on that night, it is very easy for the mind to merge into Shiva consciousness. And when the whole vibration of the hall, the collective spiritual energy, wherever we are, comes into play, we are lifted together, we are lifted. And I think these are the moments that we should make the best use of, because ultimately we are here for our elevation, for little things, Bhagwan says. You practice so much. You earn your bread. You study so much. To attend a job interview. You spend hours learning about the company. You think about what questions you could be asked. You think about the dress that you will wear. You think about how you will go there. You make 100 preparations for a simple thing like getting a job, which is just to fill your belly. How much more effort should one put if something is to lift us? Something which will connect us to the infinite reservoir of joy within. How much more of preparedness should we do? Every time there is a bhajan session, every time there is this opportunity of collective congregation, it is an interview that we have with God. It is an interview that will take us within and grant us inner view. And this joy cannot be got by anything in this world. So as we prepare for this beautiful festival of Shivratri, let me take you back to the 60s and share with you how Bhagwan gave so much of himself to the devotees, how he was always Bhava Priya, how what always mattered to him was not the act but the intent, and how in the 60s Bhagwan was on the road for 8,000 kilometers in 1965. For instance, Swami was traveling village to village, town to town, and he was distributing this amrita of his darshan, of his sparshan, of his message. I was sharing with you Bhagwan's journey during March, April 1965, and this was in the context of telling you the story of Suryakanta Magaru, who has had the opportunity to serve at the lotus feet of Bhagwan, looking after the South Indian canteen, the woman's side, for more than 4 decades. And I started this narration of Bhagwan's visit to the district of East Godavari in 1965 because it culminates in Bhagwan's visit to the village of Suryakanta Magaru. It is the village of Satyavada. But before we come to that, I feel it is worth reliving that beautiful journey of Bhagwan. It is worth replaying in our mind's eye the way Bhagwan showered his love, his mercy on lakhs of devotees in those years. I told you Bhagwan left Vrindavan on the 21st of March and he proceeded to Sulurpet, and there Bhagwan gave a discourse on the 22nd of March 1965. And after that Bhagwan went to Gudur. He went to Manikonda near Vijayawada. On the 23rd, Bhagwan left Manikonda and he reached Kakinada about midnight. And I told you how the members of a Sai Baba Bhajan Mandali there welcomed him. They had made elaborate arrangements for the opening of a Sai Baba temple there. And Bhagwan inaugurated this temple, and there was this 3-day session of the Prashanti Vidvan Mahasabha at Kakinada. 30,000 citizens had the darshan of Bhagwan on that day, and they heard the divine message. And I told you how they had to change the venue of Bhagwan's subsequent public meetings because of the surging crowds, and how in the sports stadium of an engineering college, Bhagwan gave discourses on the 25th and 26th of March. And as the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha concluded in Kakinada, Bhagwan left for Pithapuram, and the audience there, even at the late hour, they were eagerly waiting, and Bhagwan gave a discourse there in an ancient fort, and that was again a very, very moving sight, how thousands were so keenly pining to have Bhagwan's darshan. And Bhagwan, also melted by the devotees' love, spoke to them, showered them with a lot of gifts that they cannot get anywhere in the world. And Bhagwan's journey proceeded. Bhagwan went to Yalamanchali in the Vishakhapatnam district. Again, he reached there midnight. As I told you before, Bhagwan would travel during the nights and speak during the days, grant interviews, go to devotees' homes. All that happened during the day. And he kept traveling in the nights. And there in Yalamanchali, Bhagwan gave a discourse as part of the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha. And a lakh of people, 100,000 people had collected in that little town. And thanks to the excellent arrangements made, it was a very salient chapter of Bhagwan's physical reach out to the common man of the villages of India. After that, Bhagwan left for Amalapuram in the central Godavari Delta. Amalapuram is a town in the East Godavari of the Indian state of Andhra Pradesh, and this town is situated in the delta of Konasima. Originally, Amalapuram was called Amritpuri. Amrit means nectar, right? It was called Amritpuri, full of nectar. Later on, it got changed to Amlipuri, and interestingly, this town, Amalapuram, is also called Panchalingapuram. Five lingas are there in this town. It is the seat of five temples to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is adored here as Amaleshwarudu, Siddheshwarudu, Ramalingeshwarudu, Chandramaulishwarudu, and Chenna Malleshwarudu. Very spiritual, religious town. In fact, it is the third most developed town in the East Godavari district after Rajahmundry and Kakinada. And it is also the hub of education and financial institutes. There are approximately 65 schools and colleges and 6 engineering colleges and 1 medical college in that area. So Amalapuram is a very, very vibrant town. And Bhagwan was there to inaugurate and preside over the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha. For 2 days he stayed there. Bhagwan spoke to the devotees on three occasions. There were more than a lakh of eager, expectant faces lit with joy to welcome Bhagwan. And they had come from all the quarters. They had come by bus, by car, by boat, by launch, in bullock carts, in cycle, trudging along the canal banks, and all drawn by the rare chance of seeing Bhagwan, to listen to his voice. And Bhagwan, in his divine discourse, said, this region is called Konasima, the delta. Konasima means the delta area, the end land, and it is famous as the home of traditional scholarship in the Vedas and the Shastras. Bhagwan said, this area has a large number of Sanskrit schools even today, and the number of pundits, scholars versed in Vedic lore, still following the rigorous discipline laid down by the Dharma Shastras, can be found in these areas. There are a lot of scholars, Vedic scholars. In fact, Bhagavan said this region has won fame as the repository of spiritual learning. It must also be taken to be the teacher of detachment from the pursuit of artha and kama, both of which have to be restrained and regulated by dharma, the first among the purusharthas, Bhagavan said. So Swamis told the people of Amalapuram, I know that this area is full of spiritual learning and spiritual scholars, but you must use this knowledge to ensure that all your desires and all your wishes, your pursuit of wealth and all other power and pleasure is directed and regulated along the lines of dharma. Swami said, dharma is the swarupa of India. Satya is its swabhava. The swarupa, the form of India is dharma, and the innate quality of India is truth. And Bhagavan said how unfortunately the people of the sacred land have forgotten the very nature of this land. And Swami said, it is this sad situation which has prompted me to start this Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha, these congregations, these occasions to instill and awaken the masses about the glory of India. And Swami said, there are so many scholars here from this area who are part of this Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha. This was the institution which was going from village to village, town to town, and educating them, creating the awareness in people about the sacred principles and practices of Indian culture. Swami said, there are so many scholars who are part of the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha from this area. Now they have this great chance to use their talents in the service of humanity and to spend life in fruitful activity. Swami said, activity results in either joy or grief due to the attachment with which it is done. I and mine are the two fangs of the serpent. If you pluck them out, then you can safely handle and play with it. Swami said, if a serpent has the poison removed, then the snake is harmless. And the poison that has to be removed are these two, I and mine. Once you remove these two, then anything that you do, any activity that you do, will be absolutely harmless. Swami said, you should never give up activity. All you have to do is ensure that I and mine do not overwhelm, crowd that activity, do not cloud that activity. Swami said, as a matter of fact, you have to be intensely active. You should not give up action. You actually have to be intensely active, because only through karma can you transcend karma, Swami says. Only through act can you transcend action. And only human beings have this knowledge. Birds and beasts, they are not aware of this secret. Man alone can select and accept the karma that is most profitable for liberation. Man alone has that discrimination. Swami says, if man seeks happiness by satisfying the demands of the senses, he learns that happiness won by that search is inseparably mixed with misery. Bhagavan gave this beautiful example of deep sleep. Swami said, you know from your experience how deep sleep gives you a lot of happiness. Swami said, think over it for a while. Have you ever in the waking stage experienced that degree of calmness, of quietness, of equanimity, of happiness, what you experience in sleep? Deep sleep is so regenerating, isn't it? Swami said, this deep sleep or nidra is the nearest approximation to samadhi. If even the impulses and instincts and thought waves dormant during sleep disappear, then the joy becomes perfect and full. So basically, Swami is saying, if you are feeling so rejuvenated after deep sleep, that sleep is a pointer to understanding and being able to fathom the experience of samadhi. In our sleep, still there are some dormant thought waves, there are some dormant impulses and instincts. When everything just disappears, all these thoughts and instincts and impulses, Swami said, that is what is samadhi. And that joy is perfect, that joy is full. And when will this happen? Swami says, this will happen when the sun of jnana illumines you through the sun, light of knowledge. Because once that light of knowledge shines on you, then all, every speck of darkness, even in the minutest speck of darkness, will just disappear. And Swami says, the three things that have to be overcome, the three principles that have to be overcome through knowledge is physical detachment, Dehatvatvam, Indriya Tattvam, Manas Tattvam, physical, sensory, and the mental. So we have to, through knowledge, overcome the physical, the sensory, and the mental. Swami says even the mind has to be overcome before the one can be, before you can cognize the Supreme One. Because the mind always wants variety, the mind always wants change, the mind revels in contact with the objective world. The prevention of the contact of the mind with the objective world, which results in vrittis, is what will help to go over the mind. Whenever a thought or a wish or a resolution is dropped into the mind, Swami says, that is when ripples happen. What we need is union, union of Tat with Tvam. I am that, Tat Tvam Asi. There is no second. So Bhagavan was driving into the hearts and minds of these people about the supreme knowledge of this land. And Swami said, you have all come here in such huge numbers because you want to learn from these scholars. You want to learn from listening to the divine message about yoga, about the spiritual disciplines. You have come spending so much time, money, energy. In fact, the local committee, they had made very elaborate arrangements for the reception and stay of all the people who were gathering into that town, who were pouring into that town. And these public meetings in Amalapuram were held in the playing grounds of the Jilla Parishad Higher Secondary School. And that could seat many thousands of people. And Bhagavan told all these eager aspirants, take back this lesson from here. Retain at least this much knowledge. Just know this much, that attachment causes pain. Detachment results in joy. Swami said, just learn this much. If you attach yourself to things that will always give you pain, only detachment will give you joy. But, Swami said, I know you cannot easily detach yourself from activity. The mind clings to something or the other. only thing that you can do is make it cling to God. Let it do all things for God. Leave the success or failure of the thing done to God. The profit, the loss, whatever, the elation, the dejection, everything, just leave it to God. Then you will have a lot of shanti, you will have a lot of peace, a lot of contentment. But to get to this attitude, you must have faith in God. You must know that the world is just the play of the Lord. The world is not an empty dream. The world has a purpose. There is a use for this world. And the use of this world is only to discover God, to see God. The world is there for us to appreciate the beauty, the grandeur, the order and the majesty of the divine. Everything around is but a shadow of his glory and his splendor. And Swami said, the Vedas, that is why I have three sections, karma, upasana and jnana. Karma leads to the consciousness of the ever-present, immanent, all-powerful God. Upasana leads to the knowledge that he is in all. And once you, through karma and upasana, once you suffuse yourself with that kind of adoration, seeing God in everyone, then you experience that there is nothing and nobody except him, and that is jnana. Swami said, in the earlier years, people were observing these disciplines, and that's why they were leading lives of shanti and sokhyam, peace and contentment. But today, our degrees, whatever secular degrees that we get, they give us some job, but they don't give us that shanti, they don't give us that peace, they don't give us that contentment. Unfortunately, the Vedic scholars of today also have gone for these modern jobs and modern degrees. They have left that which can give them real happiness and real joy. Unfortunately, they have lost faith in the Vedas themselves. And Bhagwan said, it is a little sad that people today know about the history of the film stars. They will know everything about a film star, their love, you know, the hobbies, the family, the income, their travel plans, everything they know about the film stars. But they don't know about the glorious history of their own land. They don't know the personalities who have shaped their culture. So Bhagwan kept exhorting these devotees in Amalapuram, cultivate virtues that will add joy to you. Don't get into habits that will ruin your health, which will empty your purse, which will lower your self-esteem. Swami said, if you just go to the temples and hold the cymbals and sing loudly, that is not enough. That is just external sign of enthusiasm. What God sees is bhavam, not bahyam. What God sees is the feeling. What is the intent? What is the thought power? And Bhagwan said, the two beautiful injunctions of Vedas are satyam vada, dharmam chara, speak the truth, practice righteousness. Satkarma is the tree and sadbhava is the root, Swami said. From the root of good intention comes the tree of good deed. And what is this sadbhava? Sadbhava, good intention, is that which serves your best interest. That is sadbhava, which leads you towards lasting happiness. Take the mind off the sensory pleasures and fix it on God. Then your bhava will become pure, Swami said. Whatever you think, whatever you say, whatever you feel will be something which will be good for yourself, which will be and good for others. Swami said, don't worry about people who will laugh at spiritual aspirants and say, oh, these people are idle people, idle visionaries who are mad after something which is of no use. What is the point of going after something which cannot be weighed, cannot be valued, is not tangible? But they know very little. Swami said, How can you ignore the foundations? All these things are the foundations. You can be free from fear only when you are confident of the strength of the foundation. One cannot see the breadth and the weight of a building. The whole basis, the basis of the building is the foundation, but it cannot be seen. The unseen is the basis of the seen, Swami said. If you are caught up in the meshes of the seen, you cannot know the importance of the unseen. And Bhagwan went on to urge these people, saying that the key for liberation is contained in the Vedas. And the scholars who are well versed in Vedas should propagate this knowledge. That is how India can claim to be the guru of entire humanity. There were many pandits there. Surya Prakasha Shastri, Remila Surya Prakasha Shastri, Aravali Venkata Narsimha Charulu. There are so many very, very reputed Vedic scholars of that era who were part of Bhagwan's group of devotees who were spreading the message of Indian culture. And Swami kept saying that everyone must be immersed in peace derived from dedicated work. Work offered as worship. Work done with no desire or attachment for the benefit therefrom. Swami said all the time, reason out the purpose of your sojourn on this earth. Think about why you are here on this earth. Why you have been blessed with this intelligence. Once you contemplate on this, then devotion will encourage you to fill your days with steady, controlled activity, activity which will lead you towards liberation. So this is how Bhagwan, time and again and in different ways and different through different examples and different methods, Bhagwan was trying to awaken and arise these people, lakhs who had gathered in Amlapuram, and connect them back to their roots, the sacred roots of our Bharatiya heritage. This was on the 28th of March, 1968. It is almost like in those days Bhagwan gave a Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, but now Bhagwan was giving the essence of the Bhagavad Gita to lakhs and lakhs of devotees. He, like the Sanatana Sarathi, he, like the eternal charioteer, was going village to village and trying to ensure that people come out of their narrow ideologies and grow in the vastness of Indian culture. And imagine the encouragement that gave to all the Vedic scholars. Imagine the fillip that it gave to all the people who love India and who know that the wealth that is there in India is the wealth that is not there in any part of the world. And here Bhagwan, like a miner, Swami says, I do this in India because a miner will go to only that patch of earth to mine where there is gold below. And I do this because I know that it is in this land that this spiritual treasure is there. So as this eternal charioteer, he was bringing out this wealth and distributing it, sharing it with people. People who had gathered with eager, expectant hearts and were hungry for his love. And the juggernaut of the divine moved on from village to village.
सनातन सार थे साई
Shadanam
So that is how Bhagavan's journey to East Godavari continued in Amalapuram, as I told you, that beautiful discourse Swami gave on 28th of March 1965, and every house was alight with joy, every face was beaming with that beautiful, strange satisfaction, something that they have never experienced before. On the 29th of March, Bhagwan unveiled at the main hall of the higher secondary school there in Amalapuram the portraits of Sri Ramakrishna, Ramakrishna Paramahansa, Sri Sarada Devi and Swami Vivekananda. Everywhere Swami went, you know, be it Kakinada, Yalamanchali, or at Amalapuram, people were so thirsty for his darshan. They collected in huge groups and they would stand for long hours before the bungalows where Bhagwan stayed. They would wait under the hot sun in the darkness of the night. They would be constantly looking out when Swami is going to come out. And because probably of the depth of that yearning, you know, Swami used to come out every 10-15 minutes and give darshan. And Swami would ask those groups to disperse. Swami used to feel so pained that they are waiting for so long. And so Swami would keep coming every 10-15 minutes out, giving darshan, telling, okay, all of you go, so that at least the rest of them can have now darshan. I mean, that is how it was in all these places in Amalapuram. Swami did not stop with just giving darshan to those waiting groups. Swami was so overwhelmed with their longing for him that he started giving an impromptu discourse right in the portico of that bungalow. And Swami said, the one advice that I give you is, your life is so precious. Spend it in the most useful manner. Use it to earn joy for yourself. Use it to share joy with others. You have come in lakhs from so many villages. Some of you are so old, you cannot come to Puttaparthi to have my darshan. And I am here on this high terrace so that wherever you are, you can see me. The people who are young do not push the others. Swami was very concerned that people in their eagerness to see him do not unknowingly engage in any indiscipline act, because it will cause inconvenience and it might lead to some unforeseen mishap in the crowd because people are so eager. Swami said, wherever you are, you can listen to me. Don't miss this chance of securing Ananda. I'm here to confer Ananda on you. I'm prepared to stand here until all of you have your fill of Ananda. I will stand as long as you want. Don't push or pull anyone. Become calm. God can be felt and experienced only in the deepest silence, Swami said. And Bhagwan went on to say that the tongue is the token of true breeding. Suppose, Swami says, there is a person going and a man asks a blind farmer, who is this? Hey, did you hear soldiers march this way? A man asked a blind farmer once. Minutes later, another person accosted him and he said, blind man, open your mouth and tell me whether you heard the noise of soldiers marching this way. After some time, another voice approached that blind man and said, sir, did you hear some soldiers marching along this path? After some time, another man came and he placed his hand upon the soldier of this blind man and said, my dear man, please tell me whether you heard any men marching along this road. And the blind man later figured that the first one who spoke to him, who asked him that question, was a soldier. The second one who spoke to him was a captain. The third one who spoke to him was a minister. and the final person was the king. How you speak reveal what you are. Some have said the tongue is the armor of the heart. It guards one's life. Therefore, do not engage in loud talk, long talk, wild talk, talk full of anger and hate. Tongue can wound people. Tongue can excite. Tongue can get enraged. A person who speaks less will have less enemies. Yes, he may have less friends, but he will have less enemies. If you have the time, if you have the leisure, go within yourself, examine your own faults and failings, Swami said. If your foot slips, you can cure that fracture on your foot. But if the tongue slips, Swami said, you will fracture someone else's faith, you will fracture someone else's joy, and these things are very difficult to mend. These wounds fester forever. Therefore, use the tongue with great care. The softer you talk, the less you talk, the sweeter you talk, the better for you, Swami said. And looking at that crowd, Swami said, I know the agitations of your heart. I know the aspirations. But you have no idea about my heart. I react to the pain that you undergo, to the joy that you feel. I react to everything that is going on in your heart because I am in your heart. I am in there in every heart. I am the dweller in the temple of your heart, Swami said. When Swami saw that surging crowd and when Swami felt that people are just not able to rein themselves, Swami said, this is not bhakti if there is no discipline. This is not prema. You are wrangling here for space. The stronger ones are insisting and robbing others of their rights. This is a place where you must help. This is the place where you should practice the principle of being in peace. This is a place where there is no scope for hurting others, for envy, for competition. If anger is rising in you, if karma, desire is rising in you, like hot flames in the heart, how can the cool rays of peace and truth and non-violence emanate from the heart? Use the heart, use the human birth to spread joy, not grief. It's natural for man sometimes to resent, to grow angry, but you should not allow anger to get a free hand. Swami said, just like the raging floods in the Godavari have to be restrained by bands, by dams, similarly, you have to rein in the raging thoughts in you. Only when you rein in the water will reach the sea without scurrying the fields on either bank. Similarly, we have to set limits to your anger, to your hatred, to your envy, Swami said. You know that first you have to plow the land, feed it with water, then sow the seed, pluck the weeds out, then guard the crop by a fence from the cattle. You have to guard the crop so that it's not destroyed by and eaten up by cattle, goats, and then you go for the harvest. Similarly, the heart has to be plowed by various means, by the means of virtues. You have to feed the heart with the water of divine love. Then sow the seeds of divine name. Then you have to watch for the weeds. The weeds have to be destroyed. You have to prevent that heart where you have sowed the name of Lord from the cattle and the goats of unsteadiness, of doubt. You have to put up that fence of discipline. Once you do all this, then the name of Lord will flower in your meditation and you will get that rich harvest of divine wisdom. Swami kept on saying, cultivate this heart. strive for this Atma Ananda, for this joy. And this joy is your heritage. It is yours for the asking. You just don't know how and whom to ask. Swami said, you just ask grief to quit and Ananda will manifest. Your Sat and Chit, that is your true self. Grief will disappear as soon as you discover your real origin. Strive for this. Strive for this Ananda. Cultivate this heart. Cultivate this beautiful Atma culture of sowing the name of the Lord, guarding it with discipline, feeding it with the water of love, and reaping the beautiful harvest of joy. So that is what Bhagwan told the devotees who were uncontrollable and they were longing to come near him, touch him, to listen to him. Bhagwan told this in the morning hours, 9:30 in the portico of the bungalow on the 29th of March, 1965 in Amalapuram. In fact, between 24th and 29th March, Swami probably gave darshan to 6 lakhs of people in these formal congregations. On the 30th, Swami inaugurated at the Kashi Visveshwara temple at Innispet in Rajahmundry the 3-day Rudra Yaga, which was arranged again by the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha. So the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha continued, and in the evening there was a meeting by eminent people of that area. Honorable Sri P.V. Narasimha Rao, who was then the Minister of Law in the Andhra Pradesh government, he was present. 30,000 people were there, and Mr. P.V. Narasimha Rao, who later on became the Prime Minister of India, and in fact he was the one who came for the inauguration of the Super Speciality Hospital in 91. In 1965, he was a minister in the government of Andhra Pradesh, and even at that time he had great love for Bhagwan. And in fact, he said on that occasion, "This is a day which I will never forget in my life. It will be written in letters of gold in my memory, because today, through the grace of Bhagwan, I have this chance to be in this meeting." And he kept saying, "I don't have any credentials for this honor. This is not a political meeting or election gathering or the inauguration of something like a public health care center. This is not a place I can preside. I don't preside at this, in such a meeting. I am only sitting here in the splendor cast by Bhagwan. I am only there in his reflected glory." And he kept saying how blessed he was to be part of that occasion. And he reflected on the vast heritage of India, the truth discovered by the sages and saints who had face-to-face direct contact with reality. And he said, "We have Bhagwan who has come so that this knowledge will reach the common people of the country. There is a moral order which man obeys by his very nature. This is a harmony and sense of proportion in nature which man can disturb. Only," he said, "man can disturb it only with great difficulty, but it is because of the artificiality of civilization that, and man today has a warped sense of duty and obligation and a distorted sense of rights on which he insists." And he said, "It is in this situation that Bhagwan has come to redirect man along the path of harmony." And Bhagwan is so beautifully engaged in this task, and all of us, we are at his feet to follow his teachings to the best of our ability. In fact, he said, Mr. P.V. Narasimha Rao, "Mere material prosperity without spiritual discipline is fraught with great danger." And he said, "Even in the West, where nations have all the equipment for the highest standard of life and thinkers have felt that the ground is falling away under their very feet and they are threatened by a general breakdown of the moral foundations of society. That is what is happening in the West, he said way back in 1965. And Swami has come to save mankind from this downfall. We have to listen reverentially to his message and realize this in our lives. So this is how Bhagwan's visit to Amlapuram, the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha there, went on. And Bhagwan kept saying that we have to go back to our nature, our immortal nature, Sat Chit Ananda. We have to strive for that Ananda so that we are all calm, all the time, calm, unaffected. And everything that we do is an act that is for the highest benefit for all. So we'll continue this, dear listeners, in the coming episodes. There is still more to go before we come to April 5th when Bhagwan visited the village of Satyavada and went to the house of Suryakantamma Garu. But I don't want to miss all the other beautiful sessions and meetings and the different leelas that Bhagwan did before Bhagwan concluded the trip. In fact, almost the last part of the trip was in Satyavada, visiting the house of Suryakantamma Garu, and we'll come to that in one or two sessions. Really grateful to Swami that we have this chance to go back in time and relive these beautiful pages from the Sri Satya Sai Saga. As you read these discourses again and again, as you read about the different messages that Bhagwan has given and the way he has touched hundreds and thousands and lakhs of lives. In fact, it's because of how he has touched these people that you find so many people, you know, so many generations of devotees from these areas. They are so devoted to Bhagwan, and in fact, wherever they are so committed to living the life that Bhagwan wants and spreading the glory of Sri Satya Sai. And we should only be grateful for this opportunity to know him, to listen to him, and make use of this chance to beautify our lives. Thank you so much. As always, if you have any queries or comments, you can write to listener@ssmediacenter.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Offering this little endeavor at his lotus feet with all humility and love, I take your leave. Thank you so much. Sairam.